to Perek Beis. We are in the middle of up to Pasuk Yud Gimel. Pasuk Yud Gimel continues this thing. No, gotta turn it on, I guess. If you don't turn it on, it's not gonna work. Oh. Okay, we're up to Pasuk Yud Gimel v'zeh hanarabah lamelech. And with this, we're going back to the previous pasuk. With the previous pasuk, all of the 12 months of preparation with the Shemen Hamar. Okay, by the way, the Gemara didn't mention. Yes, the Gemara says it's nice for the nice and young. The Yoma Shemen Hamar is Shemen Zayis. It's olive oil. In Yoni Diyoma, it was Chanukah on Purim. The Shemen Zayis, it's not just ordinary Shemen Zayis, it's Shemen Zayis that has not yet, the olives have not yet grown a third of their potential growth. They would squeeze those oils to use as a depilatory, to remove hair and soften the flesh. That was applied to the Nashim for 6 months. And then we mentioned, then there was the Besanim and the Tamaruke HaNashim that were applied for the next 6 months. Pasuk Yud Gimel Vozeh. And after this treatment was complete, Hanara Bo El Hamelach. The Nara... Zeh, what?
12.
Oh, was Zeh's big Yudbe? Is 12? Zeh, Zayin Hei. Okay, Zayin Hei. And after this was done, then Hanara, Bala Melch, Hanara would then come in front of the king. Now, this refers to all of the various women that were collected. Zeh. What?
More uses Zeh, obviously. Yeh, Zeh, Lila, Doros, Sechem.
Is also a
reference. Of Shemen HaMishka.
Shemen HaMishka, okay. So, a lot of references to Shemen.
More of that, Commander.
All right, interesting. Wait. So, what does it say again? What does it say? Zeh is. Yeah, is the Shemen HaMishka. Is a reference.
Says that we know there were only 12 looking. How did it last forever?
Because Zeh's the Gematria Yud Beis. Okay.
We know that Moshe, he made all the Shemen HaMishka that were forever.
Okay, so that makes that okay. Zeh is the 12 lugin, so it's the 12 lugin. So it's very good because the Nechnami says, referring back to the previous passage where it says that she had the women had these treatments for 12 months. So we have over here another inyan that whatever she would want, in addition to the women having these treatments, they would give in a gift card, they would give in a credit card. You can go to any store you want and purchase any clothing you want. When you would appear before the king, you could dress. Obviously, wardrobe makes a very big difference in how you appear before the king. Anything that she would request would be granted to her. That would accompany her into the king. From the Beis Hanashim ad Beis Hamelach. Rashi pasuk Yud Gimel kol asher toimar. So here Rashi is something very, very interesting. Kol sechoik umine zemer. If she would want some type of entertainment and song. Now, why does Rashi focus on the word zem is sechoik umine zemer? Because this is asher toimar. Rashi is bothered. What's toimar? Toimar. It should say kol asher tishol, anything that she would request. Kol asher sha'alah, anything that she would request. Why does the pasuk tell us kol asher toimar, everything that she says, instead of using the more precise word, anything that she would be mevakesh or sho'el? The answer is that we're dealing with a certain type of request, a request that is done through dibur. What is done through koyach adibor? Sechoik, entertainment, to go to the opera, to go and go to hear some pleasant comedy skit, or mine zemer music is something which accompanies shira, song. So the word toimar is an expression of entertainment that typically is done through the koyach adibor. Now, why was this necessary? So obviously the mood of the woman and I guess the ambiance, the setting, makes a very big difference. That's a mitzvah. We all know the background music creates the ambiance, it creates a mood. And when these women would appear in front of the melech, it was not just they would appear, the way they appear, they came with an ambiance, it was a performance. It was a performance to come, it was American Idol at its best. And the judge was the king and his servants. And they basically came in front of the melech. They had to come in a good mood. They had to come and appear in a beautiful way. And that was included in their presentation. Okay, next.
On the most basic level,
yeah.
The reason it says Tomar, I mean, it's just the thought that the queen never has to ask; she just tells you what to do.
She tells you what to do.
Queen doesn't have requests; she has demands.
But she was not; these women were not the queen. They were candidates. They were not yet. These women were only at this point. They're training them. They're training them with chutzpah from the very beginning. From the very beginning. Let's see over here the Targum.
If you mind me asking,
yeah,
I'm just dying from the words from the words of Rashi. Kals choy v'mina zemer.
Yes.
Rashi's saying two things here.
Schoik. Yes. Schoik. Schoik is laughter. Schoik is laughter. Literally, laughter means jokes. If someone, if a comedy skit, you go to a late night show and hear someone.
Same thing here also, they said.
If the so it seems that the women, when they would have come in front of the king, well, you can learn in different ways. It's not really clear what it means, but when they would come in front of the king, they would come with musical accompaniment. They would come with a choir, or they would come with an orchestra when they would make their appearance in front of the king, so that would enhance their impression. And Tzchoik is the same thing. She would come with people who would provide entertainment in front of the king. It was like a date. It doesn't just mean simply that the women would come into the bedroom of Ahasuerus. Ahasuerus had every single night dinner. First with one of these women, and then he would take them take them home. So the dinner, the initial meeting, was done in a restaurant of your choice.
Boise Maisa, they had music coming before while she was there, man.
It means when the Nar would come to the king, she came to the king together with an orchestra or some type of
a. She had performed. She could have sung or danced.
What?
The requirements. She could have had to sing or dance or something like that.
Right. So she came. It wasn't just coming into his bedroom. There was a lot more that was done in order to appear before the king, and that would be part of the test, the audition, if the king would to select this woman as his queen. Okay, let's see the Targum. Pasuk Gimel uvahadein zman bosar and uvahadein zman, and with this zman, so uvazer refers to this period of time. We're going back to the period of time of 12 months, as we mentioned yesterday. Bosar deshalmin trei asar yarche shata, after 12 months of the year have passed, who makes it very clear, we're going back to the trade, we're going back, now referring to Vazeh, we're now referring to the Besamim and the Samruke Hanoshim, we're referring specifically to the passage of time of 12 months. Yarche Shata, Ulemta Aila Levos Malka. There's another idea I came across of why did we have to wait exactly 12 months? Because we know that beauty, some people they age very differently. Some people, we mentioned yesterday, what was this 12 months about? Let's take a step back. So we said yesterday, is it really necessary to have cosmetic treatments for 12 months? The depilatory is not effective. Only for 6 months. To remove the hair, it takes 6 months. Is it really so? Today, we know that's not so. Today, a woman can have a makeover in a matter of hours, a matter of minutes. You can look like a new person. You have a haircut, have some cosmetics, have some treatments. Okay, cosmetic surgery. What?
Not if you're 75 years old.
Okay.
You know.
But the 75 years old, it's not going to make a difference.
Some women 65 look 45.
We know.
Esther, we discussed this. She was either 40 years old, 74 years old, 75 years old, or 80 years old. Four opinions. Yes. Mentioned the Gemara. Different opinions of how old she was. But in addition, we mentioned yesterday the reason why the 12 months was not necessarily for the cosmetic treatment. It's because we wanted to make sure that she was healthy, because the Gemara is a person that has an illness, a trefa cannot live more than 12 months.
Right.
So as an expansion of that concept, we mentioned yesterday that if a person has a serious health condition, there is no way you can hide it for 12 months. You may be able to hide a health condition for 3 months, for 1 month, for 6 months, but if you have a serious health condition and you are on being watched for 12 months, it is a guarantee that it will come forth. Therefore, they were very concerned to take a queen that is healthy. They did not have blood tests. They did not have techniques where they can go take you for a scan and make sure you have no broken bones and no serious internal organs, no serious problems. So that's why. But an additional reason is that we know that different people age differently. Some people are blessed, they don't age. You see them, they're 75. I know someone who is now, he has to be about 71 years old. He doesn't have a white hair. doesn't have gray hair, white hair. You can definitely pass off. No, he's not bald. He has a full head of hair, dark. He can easily pass off as 48.
It's very unusual.
It's unusual. It's definitely unusual, but it's not so uncommon. There are people that age. It's genetic. There are people that don't age. And then there are people who are 25 years old, and from a distance, you would think they're 65 years old. Now, women, it's the same thing. Some women, they don't age. It's some. So you already get a sense in 12 months of the trajectory of how they're aging. When you look at a woman and you look at her 12 months later on, a person that has a good eye can already get a sense if when she's going to be 45, when she's going to be 60, is she going to look like she's 90 years old? Or when she's going to be 60 years old, she'll look like she's 30 years old. After a 12-month period of time, you already get a sense of where they are heading and how they age. So therefore, this was a disguise. They kept the women locked up in the Beis HaNashim for 12 months. To the Hamoinam, they told them, we're doing for you cosmetic treatments. They didn't need cosmetic treatments for 12 months. They could have done the cosmetic treatments in a matter of hours. They didn't do surgery in those days to change your appearance. They didn't do it. It was a technique in order to see where this woman is holding, either health-wise or in how she would age. Because they were looking to the future when this king, they want to know, will she be a dignified queen for this melech in 30 years from now? If she already in 1 year has aged 5 years, they don't want someone who's going to be 60 years old to look like 100 years old. It's not going to be about coveting for the malchus. So that was the technique. Now, therefore, after all this, let's go to the Targum. The Targum over here says, after 12 months have passed, shata of the year, the 12 months of the year, ulemta, the young maiden, Ailo Levos Malka, she entered into the presence of the king. Yos kol Rav Visarchon, dit Sovya, any master. Rav over here means, not like Rashi, Sarchon means cosmetics. Rav seemingly means an assistant, a master. As we're going to see in the next passage, that she would enter with 7 servants. If she wanted to have 7 maidens, she would select. The Medrash elaborates. If she was a Kushi, if she was a dark skin, she would bring with her 7 maidens who also have dark skin, or maybe 7 maidens that have white skin. So the contrast, she should look good in contrast to the other maidens. If she was short, so she would have come with her 7 women. It was up to her, it was her decision. Everything was a play. It was all a psychological trick. Do I look better if the woman was very tall, so she would be accompanied by 7 short women? That enhances her beauty because being tall. Or maybe Adarab, the king likes to have a woman who's petite, so he would have 7 women would come with her who are tall, so her height, her short height, should stand out. It was all a psychological technique in order to enhance your appearance. So here it says Kol Rav. Any Rav similarly means any assistant. The Sarchon means cosmetics. Titzavol lemeimar min yad yis yahav lov. Okay, I don't know the exact translation of these words, but anything that she would want, she would be given. Lemeil imam mi beis neshaya ad beis malka, to go into the king. Let's go to the next pasuk.
What's the time duration from when they gathered all the women till
4 years? 4 years. It was a grand total of 7 years. It was a grand total. It was 4 years. Yes, 4 years, and from the time that they started collecting women, Vashti was killed in the 3rd year of his malchus, and in the 7th year of his malchus, the pasuk is going to say in a few moments, Esther was selected; she became queen. So 4 + 3 is 7 years. Uviagia tor Esther, and then she was a queen for almost a whole year. She was a queen for almost a whole year until she the story played out, and she ultimately revealed that she is a Jewess. So basically, she concealed her identity that she is not from Klal Yisrael for a grand total of 5 years. 4 years from the time from the time that she was taken until she became queen, and then an additional year. We'll see that soon. Pasuk Tesvav. Pasuk Gidalad. Ba'erev Hiva. In the evening she would enter. Ba'boki Hishava. And in the morning she would return al Beis Hanashim Sheni, to a second home for the women. Now this was not Hege. Hege was in charge of the women when they first arrived until they would be selected to go to the king for the very first time. Once the king met with one of these women one time, then they were under a new charge, under a new officer who was Shashgaz. Eliad Shashgas, Siris HaMelech, he was called the Shomer HaPilak Shim. Hege was the Shomer HaNoshim. Shashgas was the Shomer Pilak Shim. Once the king already met with one of these women, so now she was, the king would think if he wanted to select her as the queen. But in the meantime, even if he would reject her as queen, she would not be permitted to return to society, because once she already lived with the king, she's no longer fit for a common man. So she would be part of the pilakshim, the concubines of the melech. And who was in charge of the concubines, the pilakshim? It was Shashgas. Eliad Shashgas shomer ha-pilakshim, lo sova ode la-melech. She would no longer return to the king, ki im chafetz ba amelech, unless the melech would desire her, v'nikra v'shem, and then he would call her by name. The Medrash elaborates and says, well, he wasn't just calling her by name, it was a little bit more sophisticated. He would put a ring in her mailbox. The meaning, just like, no, all of the Nashim had different boxes. I guess like in the Beis Hamikdash, all of the various mishmaros. There were 24 mishmaros, and each mishmar had a window where they would store their clothing. So if it was like a mailbox, a PO box. So if the king wanted that she should return to his home for a night, he would send his ring, his signet ring, into her box, and that would be a sign that she is to return that evening. She would show it to Shashgaz, and then Shashgaz would prepare for that evening. Okay, let's see Rashi. Rashi pasuk yud. Dalit, El Beis Hanashim Sheni. Rashi says this is a mikra choser. We're missing a letter. Don't read it Sheni, but Ha Sheni. It means the second. The second relative to Hege. Hege was the first. Let's see the Targum Pasuk Yudalit. Targum Beidon Ramsha Hava Ayla at the time when Ramsha Havas Alya Lishamoshe Yosmalka. So Ramsha means the evening. Ramsha is the time when it gets dark. At the time of the evening, Havas Ayla, she would enter Lishamoshe Yosmalka to serve before the king. Now it does not say here in the pasuk exactly what she did. Lishamoshe does not mean literally to live with the king. We call it Tashmish Hanita, but it's not necessarily here what it means. It means, like we mentioned before, that she would serve dinner. She basically would entertain the king, like we mentioned before. That's why she came with, according to Rashi, Mine Zemer and Mine Sechoik. She came in at night to entertain the king. After the entertainment was over, then if Ahasuerus selected her, so he would take her with him to his home, to his bedroom. But first she came in to put on a show, a presentation. And that's what it means to serve him dinner, Lishamoshe Yosmalka, Uvi Eden, and the morning Tzafra, Hava Taiva, she would return, not like Tshuva, she would return, Lebeis Nishaya, Tinyon, the second home, which means she would not return to where she came from, because now she was under a new authority, the authority of Lida, the hand, the authority, the Shashgaz, the Rabba, the Malka, that's called the Siris. The Siris means he was the great one of the king, he served the king. Nitir,
Siris also, that he was castrated.
Yes. He was castrated in order not to be suspected that he would be Mizana with the Noshim. So that's also called the Swiss. Nitir Matroni. So he was the guardian of the women. Umikan ve'eluch lot ha'il tov levos malka. From here on in, she would not return to the king, Arum, unless Arum Elohein, Hahi, the only except, these two words are read together, Arum Elohein, but only, Hahi, that lucky girl, the Yisra'eba malka, that he would have a desire for. Okay, that's the translation of the word tachpoitz. The korula b'shma mifarash uchasiv, and he would call her by her name, b'shma mifarash, by her explicit name uchasiv. And it was written. Now, the commentators take note that the word uchasiv here, I have here another sefer called the Sarasi Bamedinos. It's primarily on the Targum Sheni. That's unfortunate for me. I was hoping there would be on the other. All of his other Sfarim are on the Targum, but he occasionally does make mention of the Targum Rishon, and he takes note that the commentators are baffled by the word uchasiv. Seemingly, the word uchasiv here has no place. What is the word uchasiv? The korilei b'shma mefarash. and he would call her, and if the king wanted her, he would call her by her name, Mifarash, by her explicit name. If the king enjoyed her company, then he would mention her name to one of his officers and give instructions that she should return. What does it mean?
She had a side.
Uchsif. So what does it mean? So it is very bizarre. He would send a text, Uchsif, he would call her by name, Uchsif. Okay, it doesn't, so he there is no satisfactory answer to this, at least that I know of. But I came across something very interesting. He brings here, okay, I'll read this to you. He brings here that this question was once posed to a Hasidish Rebbe, I think. Okay, and he said, what does this Targum mean? Targum says, B'shmo mifarash uchsiv. What's uchsiv? Ein lo l'cho'ira mashmos. So the answer was, Ein achinami. This pasuk, every time it says in the Melech, the word HaMelech in the Megillah, it's a remes for the Melech Malchei Hamlochim. Hashem, how do we pronounce Hashem's name? Bizman Hazeh. It's spelled in the Torah, Yudkei Vavkei. But we pronounce it Ados, Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. But when Mashiach will come, then we will, Chazal tell us, we will pronounce Hashem's name the way it is Ksiv. The Shem HaMeforosh, Hashem's explicit name, will be pronounced the way it is written. Who will be the ones that will merit to live in that time and to have the opportunity to communicate with HaKadosh Baruch Hu by pronouncing his name the way it is actually spelled in the Torah? So that's what this pasuk here, the Targum. Targum sometimes goes way out and says mystical ideas. That's what the pasuk over here, that's what he suggests. It says over here, Lo savo od habelch, you will not enter before the king, meaning to the koyach of tefillah. When a person davens to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you are oimei lefnei hamelech. To have the opportunity to stand before the lefnei hamelech, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to give you permission. We ask permission. Hashem sefasai tiftach ufi hageti losecha. But the truth is, you need permission. Lo savo el melech kim chafetz ba. Only the one who, here the Targum is really saying that the only one that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Melech Malchei Hamlachim, the one to whom HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to pray to him, can come, v'nikra'o v'shem. Not that Hashem will call you v'shem, Hashem will allow the one to whom Hashem wants, Hashem will allow that person to speak to Hashem, to communicate with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with the shem mefarash uchasif. Hashem's explicit name, uchasif, not just Adnus, Aleph, Dalet, Nun, Yud, but Yud Kei Vav Kei, to pronounce it the way it's actually written. That's what it alludes to. It alludes to the Melech Malchei Hamlachim, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will grant this koyach HaTzvila of communication, this private audience, with those with whom HaMelech Chofetz Ba, whom he desires. So you look at the words again of the Targum. Targum says, Lo te'ol tuv levos malka arum Elohein ahi de Yisra'ei ba malka, the one that HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves. Referring to the Melech Malchei Hamlachim, the one HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves, v'karilei b'shma mefarash uchsiv, and those people to whom Hashem grants permission will communicate with HaKadosh Baruch Hu with his explicit name. Okay.
By the way,
yeah.
Which Hasidish Rav?
It says here, Rav Yitzchak Mas Titchin. Do you know who that is? Does that help you?
No.
Sachin, you know
the dynasty.
So it's from Yitzchak. You know these Hasidim of the Rebbe. Okay, so this is the one. He said this fart. This question was posed to him. Okay, this question, and that's the answer he gave, that we were alluding to something a lot. Okay, even if you like the answer, but it's a very big mystery why the Targum indeed did add the word uchasif. Okay, let's go to the next pasuk. Pasuk tes vav uvehagia tor Esther. Again, we have here the word tor. Tor means the time of Esther, bas Avichail, near here we are now revealing her yichus. She was ascended of Avichayil. Avichayil, I'm not exactly sure who Avichayil was. It seems that she was a well-known person who was a very big tzaddik. His name was Avichayil. A man, Avi means a father, Chayil of great strength. He was a very great Talmud Chacham and a very great tzaddik. And in his merit, Esther was able to enter into the palace and be instrumental in bringing the salvation to Klal Yisrael. She was Dod, Mordechai, again we're revealing to Yichus, she was the daughter of Dod Mordechai, meaning that she was Mordechai's cousin, Asher Lokach Lo Levas, which Mordechai took as a daughter, as we mentioned before, Al Tikri Levas El Levayis, Lavoy El Hamelech.
I thought Mordechai was an uncle.
No, it says he was a cousin, the daughter of his uncle. Okay, I'm not sure, you have to go look into it more. I don't know.
But
what? The simple translation that she was the daughter of his uncle. Daughter of his uncle makes her his cousin, first cousin. Okay, I don't know. I also remember hearing that she was his niece. So we have to look into that a little bit more. I do not know. Belina, we'll look into it. She did not make any requests. She did not want a choir. She did not demand any entertainment. She came to meet with him for dinner with nothing. No background music, no ambiance, no special menu. She just came in a simple way. She didn't get dressed up. It even appears she wasn't even wearing makeup. The only thing that she did was what Haggai demanded that she do. Haggai was, which doesn't say what it was. It doesn't say. Haggai was afraid. All it says in the Medrash is that Haggai was afraid for his own life. If it was up to Esther, she would have come to Achashverosh in the pajamas. She would have come in some shmatis. Okay, she would have come in the what? What does that mean? So what does that mean? Yeah.
The brother of the father.
The brother of the father, so that means an uncle. So Dod is the uncle, the daughter of the father's brother, which would make Esther into his cousin.
Targum Sheni says that.
Targum Sheni also said the same thing. Achay means the brother of the father, which would then make Esther the daughter of his father's brother, Mordechai's father's brother, that makes her a cousin. In Echonami. Okay, so here it says, she came, only thing that she came with entered is the things that Haggai demanded. Why did Haggai insist that she put on some nice clothing and put on makeup? Because Haggai was afraid for his own life. If a woman would come into Achashverosh with nothing, just wearing without any makeup and not wearing any special clothing, Achashverosh would say to Haggai, "You're not doing your job. You don't want to do the job. There are plenty of people who will like to have your job. I'll kill you. You'll be executed in one moment." So therefore, Haggai said to Esther, "Esther, it's either you or me. Either you do what I tell you to do, or I'm going to kill you. I'm not going to allow you to enter. I'm going to kill you." So therefore, she had no choice but to do a few things, some minimal things that Haggai insisted. But all of the other things that the other Nashim did on their own, all of the creative ideas that the other Nashim did in order to present themselves in the most endearing way to the king, with maidens and with beautiful clothing and with music and entertainment and a menu, in an exclusive restaurant, all of these things Esther did not do, because Esther in fact wanted Achashverosh to reject her. Loivikshah davar. Now notice here it says Loivikshah, notice the contrast. Back in Pasuk Yud Gimel, it says Uvzeh hanara bo el hamelech is kol asher toimar. See here it says Loivikshah, does not say Loi toimar davar. She did not say, because here not only did she not asked that she be accompanied by music and sechog, she did not even ask for fancy clothing. She did not ask for other women to come and assist her and to serve her. She came with nothing. Lo yivikshah davar ki im es asher yemar hegayis resamel shomer hanoshim. And yet, even though she demanded nothing, v'atihi Esther no seischein v'yenei kol roeha, she carried herself with grace in the eyes of all those who saw her. Rashi pasuk tezvav. There is no Rashi. Before we read the Targum, there's a very beautiful Chazal, the idea which many commentators say, they say exactly the same thing. The reason why she had chen is because she did not make demands. And that is so true today. Today we live in a society of entitlements. Everyone makes demands. I am entitled to this, I'm entitled to these benefits, and this benefit. The more demands you make, the more people don't like you. Chen is when you don't take, but when you give.
Low maintenance.
Low maintenance, without demands. This is a mitzvah of what brings chen. If you want people to like you, you follow the pattern over here. Why does it say that Tehi Esther no say chen b'enei kol ro'eha? It's because loy viksha davar, because she had no demands. Not having demands is what truly brings chen upon a person. Okay, now let's see the Targum Pasuk Tezvav. The Targum says, V'chadwen mata sidur Esther. When the sidur, the turn, remember we said yesterday the word tar is a turn. Michal taught us that a good translation of the word is a turn. When the turn, which we're translating here, the sidur, the arrangement. Sidur is not necessarily the same thing as a turn. We know we have Kiddusha de Sidra, the Seder. Each week we have a Parsha. Each week, this week is Parsha Miket. That's called the Sidra, the Seder. So you want to say it's the turn, it's this week's...
There's a schedule.
When the schedule of Esther arrived...
The schedule turn came.
Who is Esther? So Nachamal, here we're going and we are revealing her Yichus. She is the Bras, the daughter of Avichayil, Achvuy de Mordechai. She was also... Who is Avichal? Avichal appears to be from the simple reading of the Targum. Avichal was the brother of Mordechai. We're now revealing who her father is. Di Nasvale Libras.
So here it says clearly that she was a niece.
She was
a niece.
Avichal was okay. You're right. So there, you're right. Okay, Avichal Achvuy de Mordechai. So what then does it mean, Dod? What then does it mean, Avichayil? No. Avichayil Dod Mordechai. Dod.
You have to stop. Avichayil Dod Mordechai. Which one was her uncle?
Who was her uncle?
Esther's uncle.
No, Dod is going. Dod is going on Mordechai.
Avichayil was the uncle of Mordechai.
Esther. Who is Esther? Esther is Bas Avichayil.
Daughter of Avichayil.
Dod Mordechai. What is the translation of Achvuy? Does Achvuy mean brother? Maybe Achvuy means an uncle. I'm not so sure the word Achvuy in Targum means a brother. I think Achvuy means an uncle. Okay, let's leave it for now. Belinda, we'll come back to this. We'll have to come back to this. We'll come across it. What? Dod is an uncle. I think Achvuy is an uncle. It's not a brother. Ach, in Targum, a brother is also called an ach. It's also the same word. Achuye. It's Achvuy with the bays is an uncle. I believe in so therefore that would make Esther into a cousin of Mordechai. Achvuy de Mordechai, din nasvale livras, which Mordechai took. He took as a daughter. He took to raise her. We know the Chazal that don't read levas el lebayis. He married her.
Right.
Lemea levas malka, to come before the king. La sivas tzroch. She did not ask, she did not demand anything. This is an expression. Tzrach means a need. She did not demand any needs. She had nothing that she needed. Arum Elohim, those two words always go together, but only. Yosman diyemor hegai rabah, hegai the suris, hegai the officer di lamalka, Netar who was the guardian of Nishaya, Tehavos Esther Tiinas Tivu. He translates the word chen as goodness. It's a very beautiful translation. Chen is a very hard word to translate. Chen comes from the word matnas chinam. You like a person for no reason. There's no words you can use to express the reason why you like the person. You just like the person.
A good skite.
Oh, exactly. So l'chora, that expression, fantastic, a good skite, comes from this Targum. Targum here is translating the word chen as good. I once read an article long time ago on the word chen. an attempt to precisely define and translate the word chayin. Chayin means grace, which we've translated grace in this week's parasha. Yachnecha b'ni, b'nyamin. Elakim yachnecha b'ni, b'nyamin. Hashem should show you chayin. What does that word mean? So take all the usages of the word chayin in Tanakh and you will discover that it's used differently. Chayin, chayin, the last words of the Zechariah.
So, you know,
what does that mean?
If we knew it, we would bottle it, because it saved the world.
Right.
That's how they discuss it.
The Chazal, the Gemara says, the Gemara is disturbed. What does it mean? The Gemara says, Chayin comes from the word chinam. Chinam means free. Free means there's no understanding, there's no logic why you can't express in words or give a reason why you wish to embrace an object or an idea. So here the Targum says Tov, Tinas Tov. Okay, she brought forth no seischen, and furthermore, Umashkicho Rachamin. It's more than just. He has two translations. No seischen means she carried herself with goodness. Umashkicho Rachamin. And it was found in her, or she drew forth, mashkecha means it was found, rachamin, mercy. Be'enei kol chazoha. She elicited mercy. She brought out the best in others. When someone saw her, they had a change of attitude. They were mole rachamin, be'enei kol chazoha. Okay, you can play with this from today until tomorrow, but it's just something to take note of. The word chen is a very difficult word to translate. Okay, now let's go. Now here there's a beautiful medrash. The medrash says that, going back to what we discussed yesterday, this unusual word tor, time. Tar is also the word in Hebrew for a bird, for a turtle dove. And this indeed is one of the types of kosher birds, or one of the birds that is used for korbanos. There are toirim ubinei yoina. When it comes to bring korbanos, you only bring a korban for one of these two different types: the turtle doves or the yonim or the pigeons. These are the only types that. So what is the significance? So the Medrash connects this to the Bris Bein HaBesarim. At the time of the Bris Bein HaBesarim, Hashem told Avram to take all of the animals and slice them into two, to split them. V'yes HaTzipar Lo Vasar. The Tzipar was not split. So it's a long explanation what this means, but the Medrash, among the 100 different interpretations, it means Klal Yisrael.
Right.
The Umos, Rashi there says that the animals refer to the Umos Olam. The time will come when they will come to an end. They will be cut into two, meaning they will be destroyed for in punishment for their sins. But Klal Yisrael, the Netzach, the animals. Hashem told Avram to take a collection of animals, and all of those animals were in, he was given instructions to cut them into two parts. Symbolic of the animals represent the Umos Olam. The time will come when they'll be cut. They will come to an end. But this Hatzipar, Klal Yisrael, is Kiatem Hama'at Mikol Ho'amim. A bird relative to an animal is insignificant. Loi Vasar, Hashem was telling Avram, they will never come to an end. The Netzach Yisrael Lo Yishaker. Here we're coming to a tekufa of where Klal Yisrael is on the verge of extinction. The gezer was about to be issued, lahashmid, laharog, ulaabed, es kol hayehudim, minar viad zokein taf and ashim biyom echad. We're here at Atakufa. The Beis Hamikdash has been destroyed. A stop order has been issued. The Klal Yisrael is in Golos. The intermarriage rate is off the charts. And Klal Yisrael are participating in the Seuda that is celebrating their destruction. It's curtains. It's all over. And therefore the Satan is gearing up to issue the decree. Klal Yisrael now has to come to an end. Hashem says to Avram, I see that such a time will come, but do not worry. V'yes HaTzipar Loi Vasar. What is a tzipar? It's a tar. And therefore, Uvehagia Tar Esther. Therefore, the time to save Klal Yisrael has arrived. The Medrash says this. Yeah.
The Tzipar is a kosher bird. It's not a bird of prey, as opposed to oaf, is a general term for birds.
Tzipor
is the connotation of a kosher bird. It's not a bird.
And that we're focusing on the tar. Vagia tar is that. What?
There were two birds that were cut.
No, there was only one bird. There was only one bird. When you bring a carbon, you bring toirim ubneyon. You always generally bring sets.
Talk about the risk of service.
Vies hat tzipor. No, it says only about one bird. Only one bird. Vies hat tzipor loy basar. Only one
bird. Yeah. Two birds.
By the Brisbane of Sarim?
It says the Tar of Geisel.
Oh, Tar.
So why does it say at the end it concludes with Lashon Yachid?
Okay, I don't know. I'm just throwing out. These are just general ideas. The detail, the devil is in the detail. Okay. What? Okay, you have to elaborate. This is just the Rosh Hashanah. I don't know. Obviously, there's something very deep here. This is what the Medrash throws out. There's another difficulty. The other difficulty is that he uses the same word when it comes to the other Nairos. Right? The other Nairos. It says in the previous Pasuk, the Pasuk Yibetz, Uveagia Tor Naro V'Naro.
Yeah, you're right.
So if this word would be used exclusively in reference to Esther, it would have much, much more meaning.
Yeah.
Now, Esther is arriving. It's her turn. Problem is, the word is being used with every single maiden that's coming in front. All right, so you can say don't take it so literally. Okay, what?
Who emerges?
Who emerges? So it's the same idea. Okay, so you have to nuance this idea with the right words and the right form. Okay, so when the exact moment came, this entire process is called the tar. There's a sidur, there's an arrangement, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu was telling Avram, do not worry, I guarantee the Netzach Yisholo Yishaker, even in these dark times. Okay, let's go further. So let's see, so now let's see, so this is what it says. Okay, okay, let's now go to the next pasuk. Pasuk Tes Zayin, Vati Lokach Esther El Hamelech Achashverosh El Beis Malchuso. Esther was taken. She was taken against her will. B'chodesh Cho'asiri Yuchodesh Teves B'shnas Sheva L'Malchuso. It's now the seventh year of his Malchus. The number seven is very significant. The seven maidens. Vashti was killed on day seven. The number seven is a theme which reappears in the Megillah over and over, because seven represents the Kedusha of Shabbos. Shabbos is the Ois Beini Uveinechem. Shabbos is the Ois that is unique between Hashem and Klal Yisrael. Every time you touch seven, it's us. It's Hashem is always paying attention to Klal Yisrael. Let's take a look over here at Pasuk Tezayin Rashi Bachodesh Chasiri Eis Tzina. It's the coldest month of the year. Chodesh Chasiri. Okay, Rosh Chodesh tomorrow is Rosh Chodesh. So take out your winter coat. Even those people say that one when Hanukkah, we've been blessed with such a beautiful, beautiful Hanukkah. I don't remember in a long time having such beautiful weather. The entire Hanukkah, it's just remarkable. Eis Tzina, but Chodesh Teves is the coldest month. Shehaguf nene min haguf. Therefore, Zimin HaKadosh Baruch Hu Oysa Eis Tzina Kedei L'chavva Olam. Very, very interesting Rashi is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, by design, arranged that she should come before Achashverosh in the coldest time of the year, when a husband derives the most benefit from his wife. It's a time of endearment, because a person needs the body warmth in matters of ishus, so that enhances the chavivus a husband has towards his wife, and that enhanced Achashverosh's desire to select Esther as the queen. It's very, very strange, obviously, because the very fact, Chazal said that Esther had chein, she had yoifi, she if you would learn that she was yirak roikes, she was green. It was a chut shel chesh said Moshe Cholecha, and yet we also need this added layer. Cause for Achashverosh to select her is because according to Rashi, it would appear whoever would come to Achashverosh and were in Chodesh Teves had more of a chance. The statistics,
there were others,
but the statistics were there. Maybe it was Rosh Chodesh. It doesn't say the exact date. I think the Midrashim trying to tell us what date it was based upon other factors. But it's like telling you statistics. The statistics are that if you want to go, try to arrange to go in Chodesh Teves, because then you're going to have the benefit of a Sina and you'll be chaviv to Achashverosh. So what does that mean? So the only idea we can suggest is similar to Yosef HaTzadik. When Yosef HaTzadik was selected, when Yosef HaTzadik was decreed that he should go down to Mitzrayim, last week's parsha, so something very unusual happened. Who took him down to Mitzrayim? The Yishma'elim, the Midyanim, I don't remember all the details, but they were people they were carrying Besanim. And Chazal tell us that was extremely rare. The type of people, the merchants, and the Yishma'elim, the Midyanim, the Soicharim, that traveled between Egypt and Canaan, they typically take with them things that have a foul odor. And it was one in a million that there was a caravan that was carrying things that have a pleasant fragrance. So the answer is, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's bad enough, the Gezerah, that you have to go there, you have to be sold as a slave to go to Mitzrayim in order to prepare Klal Yisrael for Golus Mitzrayim. Shlo yiriach oyset tzadik, you should not have the discomfort of smelling something which is foul. It's the same thing over here.
But
he
was in jail.
What?
No, that's what he was going down.
Hashem was watching out for him when he sent him to jail.
Who, first of all, we have to know, the conditions in jail were not necessarily so severe. Chazal seemed to indicate that he was in charge. He had good accommodations. He was in called a bar. He wasn't tortured. His accommodations in jail were okay. He was in charge. But there's a limit. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even when there is an Esar, there's a limit. There's a degree to what to how far the Esar. It's the same thing over here. Esther was going to be selected no matter what. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu added the icing on the cake. If you already have to be selected, it's not a pleasant thing to be selected, to be taken, a nice Yiddish tochta, to go take her to the Shegetz Achashverosh. But if already you have to go, at least let him treat you well. If it wasn't Chodesh Teves, he would have treated Esther like an animal. He would treat her. Another woman comes in. This is what the king does. He has a collection of women. They come into his bedroom and he does what he does. Now, at least, it was cold and therefore Achashverosh had to behave in a different way because he needed body heat because it's cold. They don't have modern plumbing. They don't have air conditioning and all of the modern conveniences that we have. It changed Achashverosh's behavior, even though he anyway would have selected her because Chut Shel Cheshed Moshe Cholera. You're the most beautiful. You're my queen. But still, the way he conducted himself would have been unpleasant for Esther. So this was the extra bonus, the icing on the cake that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did for Esther. Just like when Yosef HaTzadik had to be sent down to Mitzrayim because of the Gezerah of Va'avod and the Inui Oysam Arba'a Me'oshana, Hashem said, listen, it's unpleasant, but it does. But there's a limit to what degree. Let me at least, you'll go down first class. You'll go down to Mitzrayim first class, they'll serve steak for lunch. It won't. Yaakov Avinu, the same thing. Chazal say, really, he should have been taken down to Mitzrayim in chains of iron, shall barzel, and yet HaKadosh Baruch Hu arranged tremendous bracha. He went down in royal chariots. He went down in chariots with good news. He's going to be reunited with his son Yosef. It's unpleasant. There's a gezerah. Va'avodam bi'inu oisam arba me'oshana. But let me give you bracha. Look at us in America. I mean, we're Zoich, it's never been so good for Klal Yisrael and Golus like it is now in America. There has to be a Gzerah. We don't know why there's a Gzerah of Golus, already almost 2,000 years. No, there's a Taina, why haven't we brought Mashiach? But you can't deny the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has smiled at us and provided us with a country, a Medina Shel Chesed, freedom of religion. If you would describe the type of life that we live today to people that lived only 100 years ago, they would say about us that we're living in times of Mashiach. They wouldn't believe that there's something called religious freedom, there's something called where the government gives the Jewish community billions of dollars for every Mishigas under the sun, and lets you live and no one bothers you, and Ish HaYoshev Einav Yaseh. This is Mamish what it says here in the Rashi. It's an Eish, a Hanukkah party in the White House with everyone, the who's who of Klal Yisrael. You saw all the pictures. The who's who in Klal Yisrael is there at the Hanukkah party, shaking hands with the leader of the free world. You can't, what is that? That's Mamish, this Rashi. Eish Tzina. It was a time of cold. Hashem, by design, is an unpleasant thing that has to happen. But Shaguf Nenem and Aguf Zimna Kadosh Baruch Hu Osa Eitz Sina Kadei L'Chava Alaf. He would treat her for derech kovoid in this very difficult situation. Okay, so this is a very important insight, I believe, this Rashi. Now, why Dafka? Now, this is what Rashi focuses on. The Chazal, the Midrashim have other reasons why we focus specifically on the Chodesh Teves. It's because Chodesh Teves was also the month when both the Churban began and the Churban ended. What do we mean it began? It began on the 10th day, Asara B'Teves. If you know, Rosh Chodesh is tomorrow. Unfortunately, in 10 days from now, is Asara, 11 days from today, is Asara B'Teves. Well, 12 days, because today's tomorrow 29th, 30th. Asara B'Teves. What happened to Asara B'Teves? The walls of Yerushalayim, the siege began. The Churban, the Haschola of the Churban began on the 10th day of Teves. The 10th day of Teves, there are four fast days which we observe to commemorate the Churban. Asara B'Teves really is the first. That's when the siege began. The Churban began. It took 3 years. From the time the siege began until the very end were approximately 3 years. Asara B'Teves. The next stage was 3 years later on Shiva Asa B'Tamuz, when the walls were breached. Then the Churban. The Churban took place on the ninth day of Av. And then on the second day, on Rosh Chodesh Tishrei, Rosh Hashanah, Gedalia was executed. That was the Gemar, because as long as Gedalia was alive, the Jewish people would remain. There would be a presence of the She'eris HaPleita living in Eretz Yisrael. He was authorized by Nebuchadnezzar to remain. I'm not going to exile everyone to Babel. I'm going to allow the Jewish people to have a presence in Eretz Yisrael. That was Stephen. His benefit that the Jews should still occupy the land in order that the Goyim shouldn't take over. And when there was a civil war and there was unrest among the Jewish people and he was murdered, when Gedaliah, that was the end. Then when the Nebuchadnezzar would find out that his appointee was executed, he would kill everyone and they all ran away to Egypt. They all ran away to Mitzrayim in the morning, and that was the end of the presence of Klal Yisrael in Eretz Yisrael for the next 52 years. So it's a process. It's a process that began on Asara B'Teves and the Churban concluded on Tzom Gedaliah. We call Tzom Gedaliah. Tzom Gedaliah is really a Nitcha. It's on the third day of Tishrei, which really is commemorating an event that took place on Rosh Chodesh, which really took place on Rosh Chodesh on the first day of Tishrei. Now, it wasn't really over yet, because it took a few months until word reached, it took even from Av, from Chodesh Av, until messengers reached Bavel and told them the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. Email was very slow those days. Took a long time, all of the different stations. I once did a ping. I remember my father's Chodesh Avach, I showed him that when I send an email from my computer to his computer, right, from my room, two rooms next to each other, I showed him that it goes from here all the way to Boston. I showed him all the routers, all the different, you can see online exactly how the message, the packets, they travel. All the way to Boston and back. Approximately, how many miles was it? Like 400 miles each way, 200 miles each way. 400 miles to get a message from here to here. Literally, 400 miles in communication. So in those days, it took months, from Chodesh Tishrei, all from the 10th day of Av until the 5th day of Teves, until word reached in Bavel that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. So Teves, the 10th day of Teves is when it began, and the 5th day of Teves is really when it ended. We say that it ended on Tzom Gedaliah, that's true, but it really ended later because they didn't know. What you don't know is good for you. If you don't know something, you can live in a world of imagination, a world of make-believe. As long as you don't know the Beis HaMikdash isn't destroyed, so in your mind, the Beis HaMikdash is still standing. When did they find out the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed in Bavel? The Pasuk says, Pasuk in Yirmiyah, on the 5th day of Teves. That's when word reached Bavel. Why did it take so long? That's a big mystery. And that's when they did Kriya, and basically the whole process came to an end. So Chodesh Teves is a month that's not good for Klal Yisrael. It's when the Churban started, and it's when the Churban really came to an end. Therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is healing Klal Yisrael in the same way that we were destroyed. I brought the end in this month. I'm going to make it up to you. I'm going to bring the Geula in this month. The Aschalto, the Geula, is going to start in Chodesh Teves. Doesn't say even the exact date. Some say that it was either on the 10th day. Doesn't say the exact day. And there were 2 days in this month which are significant in Tanakh. So it has to be that it happened either on the 5th or it happened on the 10th. Because those are days of significance in Chodesh Teves. The Geula, the Churban, began and end. Memela, the Geula will begin at that, in that same where we left off, will once again start again. Okay, let's see now the target pasuk tes zayin. The id boras Esther, she was brought, she was taken. Now here, look what it says. Targum adds in something very, very bizarre, as an itisa. Itisa's a wife.
She wasn't a wife.
She wasn't a wife yet. The wife takes place in Pasuk Yud Zayin. So what is the Targum saying? I do not know. I did not see anyone discuss this. Obviously requires explanation. She was taken
to be a wife.
Yeah. But the other women were not taken to be, they were taken as candidates. They were taken as candidates, not to be a wife. They were taken for on a date. They always tell you in dating, when you go out on the first, don't look at the person. I'm telling you from experience. Don't look. Are you going to marry them? Not going to marry them. If you go out with the attitude, are you going to marry them? Not marry them on the first day, you'll never get married. You go out just to get to know the person.
Right.
You know the person.
Right.
It evolves. You're going to make a decision the first time you see the person. So here it says, no, she was brought. It says, this is a violation of all the rules of Shidduchim. All of the king's men, all the king's horses couldn't put Humpty Dumpty back together again. All of the advisors, this is the violation of everything that it says in the Shidduch book. It says, Le'itisa. Okay, she was brought as a wife. First date, you're going to marry her.
I see.
Achashverosh was a chosid. a sad chosid. That's why they had to have the Shemen Hamor. The Shemen Hamor takes away the hear. It's Neser the Seyar.
He had one of the shows, and that's
Purim Torah. Okay, Le'itasav el Yasol Le'Beis Idron. She was taken into the base Idron, into the palace. Okay, Idron is the dwelling place. Beis Malchusei biyarcha asiro'o. In the 10th month. What is the 10th month? Hu yarcha d'teves. Now the reason why we're mentioning, don't make a mistake, I think that we're counting from the months, we're counting from Tishrei. Right, we say the 10th month because then it would result in Chodesh Av. Chodesh Av is the 10th month.
Right.
So don't be, if since this Megillah is a Jewish document, but being that we're counting from the king of Achashverosh, and generally when we count from the Umos, the what?
Tammuz is the
10th. Tammuz?
Yeah, because
Av
is the 11th.
Elul
is the 12th.
Abel, and then Elul is the 12th. Okay, I'm sorry, Thomas. So don't make a mistake and think that they were counting from Tishrei, because Achashverosh is a non-Jewish king, and the Gemara Masechta Rosh Hashanah says that when you date documents, so the documents are dated, a new king, once you pass through Aleph Tishrei, then the king's Malchus goes up by 1 year, even if he was appointed a king the day before, the last day in Elul. And then it's Aleph Tishrei, so now already he's 2 years into his Malchus. One day in the year is called a year. Don't make that mistake. That's what the Pasuk is coming to tell us. By non-Jewish kings.
You count from Nisan.
By Jewish kings, you count from Nisan. So here, Achashverosh is the exception. Well, not necessarily the exception, we're not talking about documents, but the Megillah is telling us, let's not make that mistake here. When we're mentioning the significance, since this is being described from our perspective, all of the events itself is a very important lesson. It's a bit of a contradiction to what we mentioned before. Let's take it back to what we mentioned before. There's a machlokes in the Gemara from where do you begin to lay in the Megillah? Do you lay in the Megillah from the very beginning? Do you lay in the Megillah from Balaylahu Nodad Hashnas HaMelech? Do you start learning from Ish Yehudi Hoya B'Shushan HaBira? Or do you start learning from Achar HaDvar Mo'el Gidal HaMelech Achashverosh Es Haman Ben Amdasa? So what is the point that Gemara says? Is it the Tokva Shel Achashverosh? Is it Tokva Shel Mordechai? Tokva Shel Haman? Or Tokva Shel Hanes? And we elaborate upon that by describing describing in from whose perspective are we supposed to relive the experience? Are we reliving the experience from the perspective of Ahasuerus? Are we reliving the experience from the perspective of Mordechai? The perspective of Haman, from the perspective of the Nais itself? Halacha l'maisa, we lay in the Megillah from the very beginning, which means that we focus on it from the perspective of Ahasuerus. But if we're focusing it on from the perspective of Ahasuerus, we would expect that the dates in the Megillah be written from Chodesh Tishrei, because a non-Jewish king, so it's a bit of a contradiction. So the answer obviously is it's a bit complex. There are many different layers. You have to be a little sophisticated when you lay in the Megillah. Indeed, it's from the perspective of Ahasuerus, Tokfah Shel Ahasuerus, but you have to also focus to some degree on the perspective of Klal Yisrael, and then the months are calculated from Chodesh Nisan, not from Chodesh Tishrei. Yeah, but even though it begins with, but from whose perspective? From a Jew's perspective? Or are we trying to put ourselves into the shoes of Ahasuerus? You know, it's very interesting. I was listening recently, it's fascinating. I highly recommend you listen to the series of lectures by Rabbi Stephen Prasadsky on the presidents and the Jews. He has a new series this year. He started this year. Every year he has a different, interesting series, an historical series on the presidents and the Jews. And in the very beginning of the Haggadah, before he begins with George Washington, and telling us that George Washington Kamat never saw a Jew, he says, he makes an observation, and his bikias is just unbelievable. It's just, his knowledge of American history is just out of this world. It comes off in minutes. You see what just comes out of his mouth. It's remarkable. He makes a statement in the very beginning that the Ruba de Ruba, the presidents of the United States of America, and I guess you can probably, you know, you can use that as a model for entire history, didn't really care or didn't think about the Jews. It wasn't like we're brainwashed that the whole world revolves around us. And it's true. We know that to be true from Chazal. Right. The whole world revolves around, and in modern times, to a certain degree, it does. It does.
Yeah.
But 200 years ago in America, I mean, this is what he says, and until very recently, he says, it's clear that in the mind of the presidents of the United States of America, a Jew was an afterthought. They were not an issue. They didn't think about Israel, they didn't think about the Jews. The Bible, of course, I mean, the Constitution was influenced by the Bible. But that was like an ancient perspective. They didn't see Jews, they didn't know from Jews, they didn't care about Jews.
But Washington
came
to many Jews around anyway.
It's very different. Ahasuerus, you can't say that about Ahasuerus, because Ahasuerus is coming in the aftermath of Nebuchadnezzar, who destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. And we have Vashti, who is the great-grand of Ahasuerus. They did think about Jews. Jews was the agenda. It was on top of their agenda. So here, so how do we get into this? How did George Washington come into this over here? Okay, going back to the Megillah, Vayihi bimei Ahasuerus. Vayihi bimei Ahasuerus. We are learning about the story of the Megillah from the perspective of Ahasuerus. Really? Did Ahasuerus really? Was that his primary concern when he became Melech? The Jews? It's not really clear. He made a party 3 years into his Malchus that the Jewish people are no longer...
The first paragraph doesn't even talk about Jews in the Megillah.
Okay. So when we lay in the Megillah, we're laying the Megillah from in his shoes. In his shoes. Tokvoy Shel Ahasuerus, the Gemara says.
There's a Jewish perspective here also, according to many portions, because what was the celebration that Ahasuerus, when he came to power in consolidation of power, part of the idea was to change the world capital was Jerusalem, that's before Corbin.
Was it really?
And after 70, well, that's what Rabbi Beryl Wine says, that's what other people say, and Rabbi Albert makes a point, we're saying it in Limud HaNisan, but what he points out that the reason, as we've said, that they didn't deserve to be killed for eating Shenen and Suda Sakashveyosh. The sin that they deserved Kliya was going to the Suda was tantamount to being a kofar b'ika, that they would go back in Nebua, that they would go back after 70 years. And now he made this party in, you know, the end of the 70 years, and now God had obviously forsaken the Jews and was now making a new world capital in Shushan rather than Jerusalem, was now officially the world capital. And that the Jews were coming showed that they gave
up. Okay, so he's saying that it didn't involve the Jews. Okay.
So Mordechai wanted them to see all this and start it.
Okay. But this is an extremely important point to take note of, is that even though the Megillah is being written and is being even read from his perspective, yet the Megillah goes out of its way and says, "Bachodesh Ho'asiri, Ho'chodesh Teves." Make no mistake about it. Not Chodesh Tammuz. Let's conclude the Targum. The Targum concludes the oil. Okay, one more time. We'll start from the beginning again. The Pasuk Tezayin. The Id Boras Esther Luvos Malka Hashemosh. Leitis as a wife. The oil Yosol Beis Idroid, and she was brought into the palace Beis Malchus. So the chamber of the palace Biarcha Asiroa. Who Yarcho de Teves Bishato in the year Shivi Asol the Malchusay, the 70th year of his Malchus. Again, this number 7 is very significant. It alludes to the 7, everything in the world. There are Hashem's Malchus, Kaviyochol, is also 7 years. Think about it in that way. Malchuso de Ara Kein Malchuso de Rakia. We have a tradition that this world will endure for 7,000 years. What that means, no one knows. Why? Because Yoimoy Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu is 1,000 years. Ki Elef Shonin B'Einecha Ki Yoim Esmol. So there are 7 days. So there are 7 days in the week, and therefore, for each day there's 1,000 years. So the world from beginning to end is going to be 7,000 years. Just like the first 6 days are Chol, and the 7th day is Kodesh, a Shabbos. The first 6,000 years are Chol, relative to what's going to be in the 7th, the Elef HaAshvi. Then it's going to be the time of Gan Eden, Olam Haba, and all of these mystical things. Achashverosh here is the leader of the non-free world. He was a dictator of the entire world, Achashverosh. And here his Malchus now has reached its pinnacle. It's now his 7th year. He finds his queen. Malchusa, and every time it says in the Megillah word Hamelech, Hamelech alludes to the Melech Malchi Hamlochim. And even when it does not say, even when it says Melech Achashverosh, there is still some connection. And the events of the Megillah, Purim is loy batel. Remember, the miracle of Purim is so great, it's never going to be batel. And when is this event happening? It's all happening, it's all starting, and come very quickly, all within his 7th year. Because the 7th year of the Malchus corresponds to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's 7th year. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's 7th year alludes to the 1,000 years. I mean, really, it's a day. So it's not precise, but it's the same concept of units. Of units of 7. By Kodesh Baruch Hu, it's the 7,000th year. And that is the tkufa when the world reaches the shlemus of La Yehudim, Oyre, Vesimcha, Vesazan, Vikar. We reach that shlemus, and that's why it's critical. Now the queen has arrived. Everything unfolds. Maisa Avos, Simin Labonim. Okay, let's stop over here.